We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today on the show, I have Greg Higdon. He's the founder of Grow the Books, a bookkeeping company for small businesses just like yours and mine. With over 13 years of experience in education, he teaches his clients so that they are empowered and armed with a clearer understanding of what their numbers mean for their business decisions. When he isn't balancing books and helping clients, you can find him roasting coffee, drinking coffee, and reading about coffee. On today's episode, we are talking about bookkeeping software, questions to ask when you're hiring a bookkeeper, and the benefits of having someone outside of your business looking at your numbers, and really how that translates to you making better business decisions based upon those numbers. So enjoy. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi. Thank you for having me today, Katie.
Of course. So I want to kick things off. What is a misconception that small business owners have around bookkeeping and knowing their numbers? What are you seeing in your clients and prospects?
I think for the most part, a lot of people don't even know what a bookkeeper does. They think a bookkeeper is the same thing as a CPA or an accountant or someone who does your taxes.
Yes, I 100% agree. So break it down for us. Define what a bookkeeper does.
Yeah, so a bookkeeper is the one that does the day-to-day like categorizing of your transactions. Anything going in and out of your bank accounts or credit card accounts is what a bookkeeper does. Is categorizing all that every day. And then hopefully, depends on the bookkeeping software, you can reconcile the numbers in your bookkeeping software with what's in your bank statement or your credit card statement.
Yeah. How often are you reconciling everything for your clients? Is it once a month, once a quarter? What do you do?
Yeah, it's definitely monthly. A lot of that is centered around that's when bank statements come out is monthly or credit card statements come out monthly. And so that's usually when everything is kind of reconciled between bookkeeping software and then also the statements. But then the categorizing, that could go on every week going in and categorizing. Depends on how many transactions you have, really.
I was going to say, for our folks that are listening to the show, they tend to have a lot of transactions, especially if they're selling retail and wholesale and they're tracking their inventory through the same types of systems.
Right.
Speaking of systems, what bookkeeping systems do you recommend or do you like best from the bookkeeping side?
Yeah, for me, I really like QuickBooks Online. That's the one I use. I know a lot of people that use Xero also. That's X-E-R-O, if you don't know how to spell that one. So both of those are like the top bookkeeping software programs. And the reason I like QuickBooks is because you can reconcile the accounts. There's a lot of bookkeeping software out there that you can't reconcile your account. All you can do is just categorize your transactions. But then sometimes when the bank or the credit card company syncs up with your bookkeeping software, mistakes are made. There's transactions that are left out. That does happen every few months. I catch a few transactions that are not in the bookkeeping software because of some kind of syncing problem. So it's good to have that extra reconciliation in there just to make sure you're verifying everything's correct.
So things are, the problems exist when things don't get loaded in properly and or are things duplicating sometimes if they're not being reconciled?
I've seen duplication a few times, but for the most part, it's usually something not showing up in your bookkeeping software. So that's either, for a recent client of mine, they came over to me, but they never reconciled their books from last year, from the previous year. And so they didn't even know how to reconcile, but they already filed their taxes based on, the information they had in their QuickBooks. But then when I went through and reconciled everything for them, they were off by like $650. And so it's like, that's actually extra money in their pocket, It wasn't the other way around, at least, but still, mistakes are made, even though you have software and you have tech issues. And so things don't quite work sometimes.
So I use QuickBooks Online and I love it. It's easy for my bookkeeper and my CPA and everybody that needs to get access to it to gain access to it. When I was just starting out in my business, I was using Outright, which was purchased by GoDaddy and now it's GoDaddy Bookkeeping. Right. I know that some of our people use Wave. I mean, I know some of them are using Xero. Are there issues with any of these that I just mentioned that you would encourage people to stay away from?
Yeah, I've used GoDaddy and I'm not too impressed with it. Just because you can't reconcile your numbers with it, you can't reconcile with the bank statements. Gotcha. You can just go in and categorize transactions. And honestly, I just don't like the way it's laid out. You have all your income in like one screen. You have all your expenses on one screen. You know, you don't really know like what's coming from which credit card or which, checking or savings account, or everything's just kind of added into one screen. And so I think some like QuickBooks and Xero are definitely easier to understand just looking at it, you know, at least for me, but I know I'm a bookkeeper, you know, so.
Yeah, you're in the numbers, you get the numbers. Yeah. I think too, when people are starting out, it's very intimidating, especially in my world. They're creative entrepreneurs, they're artists, they're designers, they're creating like, you know, paintings and things. So for them, they don't feel strong in the numbers. They don't feel confident in looking at their numbers. So if they're using a system that's also not intuitive and not supporting them correctly, I think that's a problem too, right? It sets them back definitely. A little further. So you recommend QuickBooks Online or Xero as another alternative. Do you have any thoughts on Wave or?
Not really. I sat down and looked at it for a little while and got a free account and stuff like that and just glanced at it. I mean, to me, it looks pretty good, you know, just from the surface. I haven't really dug deep into it. I'm not sure if you can reconcile or not in that software or not. That's the one of the big things for me is reconciling because mistakes are made. And so it's good to kind of verify that everything's accurate.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's take a step back here. What should somebody have ready before they even consider hiring a bookkeeper? Is there like a checklist they should follow to know if they're ready to outsource that? Or what do you recommend?
Well, I think it's more up to an individual, really, because if you're finding that bookkeeping is kind of the last thing that you do, it's like on the bottom of your list. Like, I'm not going to go look at that for maybe a couple months, you know, and maybe try to get organized. But, you know, then I think definitely a bookkeeper is someone you should hire because you really should not be going more than a month and a half to 2 months without even categorizing your transactions or looking at your numbers.
I agree with you. So I'm going to spill the beans here a little bit. Early on in my entrepreneur days, I was reconciling quarterly. And even then, it would sometimes stretch to 4 months or something, you know? Yeah. And I didn't realize the impact, the knowing your numbers and analyzing your numbers and paying attention to where the money's coming from and which revenue streams are most profitable. And then also looking at the outflow too of where am I joke, leaking money. You know, there's certain expenses that I didn't realize I was paying month over month or whatever. You know, like looking where the money's coming and going allowed me to make better decisions in my business. And I put it off because I was intimidated by it. I didn't want to deal with it. I had other things that felt like they were more important. But the minute I did start paying attention to it, I felt my business grew. Are you seeing, do you have a story like that you could share from one of your clients that had a similar experience?
Yeah, I have quite a few clients that have come to me and they never really looked at their books or looked at their numbers. They didn't know what they were spending. They would just look at their bank account and think, I have money in it, you know, and that's kind of, I'm making money. It's like, but you don't know, like, you know, I mean, but yeah, definitely seeing clients who, you know, they increase their ad spend on Google ads or something, and then they don't see any effect of that, you know, but they wouldn't know that really if they weren't looking at their monthly numbers and seeing kind of, you know, what's happening with that. Or maybe they increase it too much and they're not getting the return on it. So, so definitely, I mean, knowing your monthly numbers will help you know your revenue and then also like your expenses. What are you paying for? Because I've also had clients who were paying like monthly subscription fees for things they don't even use anymore. And that's really easy to do. I mean, once you start adding all these like templates or these WordPress plugins or whatever you're using on your sites and, you know, and you realize it's not, some of those things aren't really worth it. You probably forgot you're paying for some of those things.
Absolutely. I'm guilty of that for sure. What types of questions should somebody ask when they're interviewing a bookkeeper? I know that like the services vary and the way people go about working with a bookkeeper can vary. What do you recommend they ask when they're deciding to work with somebody?
Yeah, I think one of the top ones is how often do you update the numbers? You know, how often you're updating QuickBooks or Xero or whatever software you're using. That's one of the top ones, because I've had clients that come to me that, you know, and it's usually, honestly, it's usually like CPAs who are not really focused so much on bookkeeping. They're focused more on like the taxes. And so mm-hmm. they may not update your books monthly. It might be quarterly. When you have to pay quarterly taxes, then they update your books. So they might keep, you know, they might stay behind and updating your numbers. So that's definitely one of the first questions I'd ask is, how often are you updating the numbers, and when will I get like profit and loss statements and balance sheets from you?
Yeah. You do something that's different than most bookkeepers I've talked to. You offer a quarterly, what do you call it, advising session or analysis report, or what do you just tell everybody about that, because I don't even know all the details of it.
So I offer a quarterly kind of a check-in, just kind of see where your numbers are at, and just looking at your revenue or your revenue streams. I mean, that's the other thing that I do different from most bookkeepers, I think, is just breaking down the different types of revenue you have into subcategories and things like that, or its own category, possibly, depending on what it is. Just looking over those categories, looking through, you know, advertising spend, you know, and looking at like month to month, how are your numbers changing, or are they changing?
Yeah. I think it's super important, because if we look at one month in a silo, that tells a story. But at the same time, we need to be looking at things in a quarterly basis, or even in a 6 month basis or annual too, just to be reassessing and pivoting. We're more agile in our business when we're knowledgeable about those numbers. So we can make changes that we need to make before it becomes a, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was happening all year. You know?
Right, exactly.
You also have some services where you will help entrepreneurs clean up their books and maybe even do their own books if they're not ready to hand it over to somebody. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I do offer cleanup services to go in, kind of just update your books, or even just, you know, just give it like a little checkup to see how you're doing with your books. And that's very beneficial, I think, for some entrepreneurs that want to do that on their own. And maybe they're not intimidated by numbers or afraid of their numbers, you know,
they're
fine with doing that. But, you know, you might second guess yourself. You might think, I'm not sure if I categorize this correctly, or I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. Or I've had some people come to me and tell me, my CPA told me I need to have a bookkeeper look over this. And so,
but you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to ask is what they're saying to you.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I think the categories are the main thing that I see people struggling with. They're intimidated by it because they're not sure which categories they need for taxes, or which categories they, I think they don't realize it's a fluid thing. Like there are certain categories you need to have, but then there's also some you can make up if you want to track certain things in your business, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I like doing is I like breaking things down and tracking the different software programs you're using. You know, I created quite a few subcategories for things like advertising and then also software. Those are probably the two big ones, you know, or even for some of my clients, it's office supplies. You know, they're spending money at Amazon, Target, Costco. I mean, the list goes on, and they don't realize how much they're actually spending at these places. And do they really need to be spending that much money?
Yeah.
So.
Hi, friends. Our PaperCamp conference for 2020 is just around the corner, and we only have a few seats left. Now, I'm only hosting this program live and in person one time in 2020. So it's your only opportunity to spend over 16 hours with me, our amazing speakers, and a small group of product-based business owners who are all working towards similar goals. PaperCamp is our signature program where we teach you everything you need to know to sell your products to the wholesale market. Over the last 9 years, we have worked with thousands of small independent brands just like yours to help them build profitable, sustainable wholesale programs. And I want to do the same for you. So head on over to prooftoproduct.com/PaperCamp to snag one of our last seats to the PaperCamp conference. And I look forward to seeing you soon. I will say too, looking at my numbers and looking at the profit and loss statements every month, it was kind of, I gamified it, which may sound weird, but I was like, oh, well, I can do better next month. You know, I can cut back on my expenses. I can increase my revenue. And like, I don't know, it became kind of a personal challenge to me. Am I weird in that, or are other people doing that too?
No, you're right. I mean, I remember having one client earlier this year that I met with for their quarterly check-in, and her revenue was kind of, you know, revenue was kind of dipping some, or net income actually went into the negative by like $900 or something, you know, and I don't know, I'm hoping I wasn't too stern or anything, you know, about a talk I gave her, but, But, you know, I noticed she started changing some things around, and, she actually started advertising a little bit more, and then her revenue actually went up like an extra like 15 to 20%. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So she definitely like turned it around. I'm like really impressed. Like her, it's been staying up there for several months now. So that's good.
Awesome. Okay, let's get back to the DIY people that want to DIY their books. So you will help them clean it up. You'll help make sure everything's categorized correctly, that they've got everything set up in a way that makes sense for their particular business and the business model that they're utilizing. So
that's
that
right.
When it does come tax time, they'll have everything packaged up pretty where it needs to be if they categorize everything correctly in their transactions. Do you have any tips or strategies that you can share for people that prefer to DIY their books? Like, what advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I think one of the main ones that I've seen and is just, you know, use bookkeeping software. You know, that's kind of the big one for many people. I've talked to people who use spreadsheets still and trying to keep track of all their expenses and spending hours and hours filling in spreadsheets of their expenses. And I mean, while you can do that, the bookkeeping software takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes less time, as I found that.
Yes, less time.
Bookkeeping software, yeah, definitely takes less time, you know. But for some people, when they look at bookkeeping software, they get a little overwhelmed because they're not sure how to use it.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely recommend bookkeeping software. And I think once you figure out like what software you want to use, I think just finding someone to train you on it. That's the other thing that I offer with QuickBooks Online is, I mean, I've trained quite a few people who doing themselves to how to use the software. And so I think it's very helpful to have someone just kind of walk you through the steps of what you need to be doing monthly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I think taking it one step further, it's about blocking off the time to actually do it, to whether it's, you know, Financial Fridays, once a week, you're going through your transactions, if that makes it easier for you, or once a month, just carving out a certain day that you're going to sit down and do your reconciling and categorizing your transactions and running your reports and seeing what everything is. Because once you have the technology and once you've got the training on how to do it, then it's about leveraging that and making sure, well, doing the work and making sure you've got it all there,
right,
but then leveraging it for your business so that you're making smarter, better decisions.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I know even with my own business, what I've realized is just, you know, putting something on my calendar is big. You know, before
yes,
I would just keep track of it in my head. And, you know, in the beginning when I started my business, try to keep track of all the things that I need to do. And then, you know, my clients are all listed on my calendar, but that's it. And then the things that I need to do in my own business, I was just trying to keep track of it somehow or doing little notes in Google or something, I don't know. And then, but there was a big turning point when I started just putting it on my calendar and then blocking off time for it. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, I'm getting everything. I feel like I'm getting organized.
It's the cobbler's kids don't have any new shoes, you know?
Yeah.
Like we make time for all of our clients and all of our customers, and
right,
yet we have a tough time making time to do these things for ourselves.
That's
so
right.
I love that you have a full service side of your business as well as more of the consulting, coaching, project-based stuff for the people that maybe aren't ready to invest in somebody doing this month to month. I think there's a huge benefit, you guys, anyone listening, there's a huge benefit to having a bookkeeper that is reconciling things on a month-to-month basis and providing you with a profit and loss statement. I can see every month where the money is coming from, which of my programs or services are the most profitable. I can see which ones have the most expenses tied to them. I can see where we're overspending. And
yeah,
year over year, at least with my business, I have income that comes in waves. And so I can then plan ahead for the future of
that's
like,
right,
okay, we know this quarter is going to be, you know, heavier expenses, but we know income's going to be up next month or next quarter because we're launching something or whatever it is. And the same for all of our listeners, as you're releasing new products and you're pushing, you know, wholesale buying cycles are at a certain time, you're going to see a fluctuation in sales and revenue and expenses and all of those things. But when you're seeing these profit and loss statements on a month-to-month basis, you can then be more strategic in your planning. You can hold some money back for the times that are slower revenue months, and you can, you know, spend maybe when you have the money to spend or whatever it is. So anyhow, I just wanted to chime in on that. But Greg, why do you, I mean, this, you've been in this business a long time. You've seen a lot of different types of businesses. Why is it beneficial to have somebody outside of the business, outside of the, like me, the CEO, why is it beneficial to have somebody like you looking at the numbers and then talking to me about it?
Yeah. Honestly, I just think, you know, bookkeepers have like a lot of experience with numbers. Just like you said, I mean, we spend time going over numbers over all different types of businesses. And so just having someone else who actually looks at numbers, and it's really, you know, for me, at least, I mean, I'm trained in like analyzing. And so like analyzing numbers is kind of the thing that I do best. And so to have someone that does that and to come into your business and to kind of look at the, you know, the numbers that you've been looking at for years and years, probably. And it is very eye opening for many of my clients.
Mine too. It's interesting. I just did a podcast episode about delegating. And I talk about how they can work through what they should be delegating and figuring out what to delegate next. And for me personally, I love numbers. I love the analysis. I just did not have the time and bandwidth to actually do the reconciliations and the categorizations and the bookkeeping. So bookkeeping was, I think it was the second thing I outsourced. I had somebody that was kind of doing administrative work for me, and then bookkeeping was the next thing.
Right.
But I looked at that, and I think that's a common thing. I think, do you see that too, of like where bookkeeping is one of the top things people outsource first, or do you find that it's, where does it fall in the lineup?
You know, honestly, I think, I'm actually, if I look at most of my clients, it's one of the last things they probably outsourced.
Interesting. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think they're afraid, you know, for many of them, I think they are kind of afraid to have someone else look at their finances.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few of my clients tell me that I tried cleaning out my books before I gave them to you, you know, because, I mean, they don't want you to see like how much of a mess they really are, you know. Yeah. But really, I mean, as a bookkeeper, I'm really there to really have no judgment. I mean, I'm not judging you. I know that as a business owner, there are a lot of things that you have to do. You know, I know that from my own business. And it's hard to get to certain things in your business. Some things you're more excited about than others. And so I definitely understand that. And so for me, yeah, part of it is just, I think it's just kind of fear of just having someone else look at that.
I can see that. I mean, it's a sensitive topic. If you're not earning the money you're hoping to earn, or if you're insecure about where you're spending it. But I do think having somebody look at it is a huge benefit. I think it's interesting. We had talked about this previously about how some of your clients is the last thing. For me, it was one of the first, and it is one of the first things I advise my clients to outsource, because I think it's so incredibly powerful to know those numbers and see that data.
Yeah, definitely.
And as I said, most of the people I work with are creatives. They're artists. Like, they're not so analytical and number focused.
Right.
They sometimes struggle with the business side of running their business. And so I guess bringing this back to the podcast episode that I mentioned previously, the delegating thing, like friends listening, like know your strengths, know where you're really strong and know where you're weak, and lean into the weaknesses and get people on your team who are stronger in those areas. Because having people that are experts in things that you're not good at, it is going to elevate your business by a lot. So getting somebody like Greg or another bookkeeper on to do the things that you might be afraid of or intimidated by, or just not know how to handle, that's you stepping into the CEO role. That's you handling the business and getting somebody on board that can do the things you're unable to do or not interested in doing.
You're
sometimes
right.
It's not a capability thing. Sometimes it's just I don't have the time or desire to do this either, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then I'm glad you mentioned delegating. Just because, I mean, I've had some clients that they try to delegate, you know, their office support person or someone else, or their VA, they try to teach them how to do their bookkeeping, or, you know, I've seen all sorts of things, you know, when instead of just hiring a bookkeeper, because I think sometimes though, just hiring a bookkeeper, I think some people are trying to save money, I think,
right.
Because they look at the price of a bookkeeper and they might think, well, I can get, you know, someone else, and I'm already paying $20 an hour to do something else. So, you know, get them to do the bookkeeping or teach them how to do it. So that's another thing. So delegate to someone who's actually experienced and knows what they're doing.
Oh yeah. Important. Hands down. It's way better to pay. You get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you pay somebody that doesn't know, you're going to get not so great quality.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that though. And I don't want you to give out numbers, because I know you can't give out numbers, but like, let's talk generally about, it's typically a flat rate, right, per month for bookkeeper fees. Is that correct? And then that's based upon the number of transactions and the complexity of one's book. So, of course, it's very tailored and individualized to that business in terms of the fees associated with bookkeeping.
Yeah, you got it. So it's you know, the packages are all customizable. And if you're going to hire a bookkeeper, I mean, I would definitely hire someone who has kind of a base rate at least. You know, I don't really, honestly, I don't really like bookkeepers when they try to charge hourly. I've had clients come to me that, you know, were, you know, they had a bookkeeper that charged hourly, and then 1 month they get a, you know, a bill for like $300. Next month they get a bill for $500. Next month, you know, and it kind of changes over and over. And it's hard to, it's really hard on your books to keep having this fluctuating expense. You know, it's a lot better to have something that's consistent. And so, so for me, like my base price is $175 per month, which does include the quarterly check-in as well.
Nice.
And that goes up to like 100 transactions a month. So, you know, and then depending on the complexity of your business, like how many bank accounts and credit card accounts and, you know, how many statements off to pull to reconcile and things like that, the price kind of goes up from there.
That makes sense. But that's too, going back to earlier conversation of like, that's where having the conversation, doing interviews, so to speak. I mean, I use that term loosely, like you want to make sure that you jive with the person you're going to hire, but also just getting a firm handle on what the expectations are of, okay, well, what is this going to cost on a monthly basis? And what do I need to have prepared for you? Or how, what technologies are we using? Like, I think those are all important questions.
Yeah, those are all important. And I think the one thing that I didn't mention was also just responding to emails. You know, I mean, I think one of your questions was, you know, what should I ask another bookkeeper or, you know, something at least about my service. I mean, I'm really good at responding to emails because I just mentioned that just because I know some of my clients came to me and they said they've emailed other bookkeepers and it's like, you know, they don't hear back from several weeks or something. And I'm like, well, I mean, they're part of your team. They need to be there, you know, when you have questions. And so that's one thing that's really important, at least to my business.
No, I 100% agree with you. I was talking with some people a week or so ago and, you know, we were talking about different bookkeepers and the issues they had had with bookkeepers in the past. And it was, like you said, communication or somebody wasn't reconciling monthly. They were doing it quarterly and that just didn't give them the data points they needed. Or somebody had hired a family member and that just felt too close to home, you know. And so there's like ultimately, friends that are listening, I want you to find somebody that you feel comfortable working with and that, you know, it fits your budget and fits what you're doing within your business. But I will say, and I will repeat this over and over again, when I hired a bookkeeper, it opened my eyes to the possibilities of how I could grow my business better. It opened my eyes to where my money was truly coming from revenue-wise and which portions of my business were most profitable. It helped me curb my spending. Like there were a lot of different benefits to having somebody else take that piece of, you know, my operations, and they did a way better job than I did too. So that was a benefit.
I hope so. I hope that bookkeeper does a better job than it, I mean, than you trying to do it yourself and stressing out about your numbers and trying to get things organized.
Totally. Well, hey, what's next for Grow the Books?
At least for my business, we are expanding some. We're hiring people to help us with the data entry side of the business for now. And next year, hopefully we'll start hiring some employees. So we're slowly just expanding and growing.
That's amazing. Well, congrats to you. Let everyone know where they can find you online if they want to check out your website and your service packages.
Yeah. So you can find me at growthebooks.com. And you can also email me at greg@growthebooks.com.
Excellent. We will include both of those in the show notes for anyone that wants to reach out to you. And Greg, thank you for your time today. Thank you for shedding light on a topic that a lot of people shy away from because they're nervous or scared about it.
Yeah, definitely. So. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.